Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Acharei Mos, we have 6 Divrei Torah. The main focus of the Parsha is on the Avodah, both in the Mishkan and also in the Beis HaMikdash of the Kohen Gadol. On Yom Kippur, we will touch on various aspects of that, but it starts out in a different area, talking about the unfortunate and tragic death of 2 of the sons of Aharon HaKohen. And it says as follows, Acharei Mos, Shnei Bnei Aharon, what happened after the deaths of Nadav and Avihu. And we have an interesting question to start out with from the Drash Vayu, and he quotes a Zohar that says that Nadav and Avihu were actually less than 20 years old when they had their tragic death. There's a discussion in the Gemara and the commentaries on what the exact sin was. We'll touch on that a little bit later, but we're not going to get into too much depth on that. But be that as it may, the Zohar says that they were younger than 20 years old. We learn that from the words in our pasuk, B'nei Aharon. They were the children of Aharon, meaning they were still under the supervision of Aharon, less than 20 years old. And accordingly, we have a question, how were they punished for an activity they did, a sin that they did? But as we know, somebody is only responsible, can only be punished for a sin that he does once he is 20 years old. So there's no punishment up until 20, only after 20. If they were less than 20, why were they killed for the sin that they committed? So the Drash Vayun answers as follows, based on a Gemara in Brachos, that when you have somebody below the age of 20, even a very young child, but he is advanced, he is smart, he is wise, he is very precocious, he can still be held responsible, even less than 20, even from a very young age. In fact, and the Gemara talks about Shmuel, when Shmuel Hanavi was not Shmuel Hanavi yet, very young child, he was only 2 years old, and he paskened the halacha in front of his Rebbe, which was Eli HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, and indeed that he would be Chayav Misa for that. He would have to be put to death, so you paskened a halacha in front of your Rebbe, even though he was only 2 years old. And the reason is because he was incredibly precocious. Even at 2 years old, he would be treated as if he was not a minor anymore. He would be treated as if he was 20 years old. And accordingly, that is what the pasuk says, our pasuk, Acharei Mos Shnei Bnei Aharon, after the death of the children of Aharon. If you want to ask the question, how is it they were punished? They weren't even 20 years old. So the answer is immediate in our pasuk, Bikar Vasam Livnei Hashem, because even though age-wise they were young, but they were treated as gedolim because intelligence, precociousness, they were so advanced in who they were that they were krovim to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and accordingly they had a higher standard, even though they weren't of age, but they were of maturity and intellectual capability to have understanding what's proper and not. And accordingly it answers, after their death, why were they put to death? Because they were kroving to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They were gdoling, precocious. Accordingly, vayamusu, they were put to death because of that. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2, and the Medrash says at least one of the sins, one of the explanations as to what the sin they did was that they did not dress properly. They were Kohanim, they were going to do the Avodah, they should have dressed properly with, as in the Bigdei Kohuna, the proper clothing of the Kohanim. And it says the reason that they die, according to this view in the Medrash, is that they went in to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, Mechusari Begadim, meaning they weren't wearing the proper garb. They were chaser, lacking in the clothing of the Kohanim. And then the Midrash asks, so what were they missing? And it says, Me'il Hayu Chaserim. They were missing the Me'il. The Me'il, I think we say in the English, is the tunic that they would wear, literally a jacket nowadays, but the tunic that they would be wearing. So the question is, we can understand they didn't dress properly. It could be viewed as a lack of kavod. It could be whatever the sin was. It doesn't really matter. The fact is you have to be dressed properly in the proper garb of the Kohanim to go in, and they weren't, and they were missing one of the begadim. But why specifically are we focused on the me'il, the tunic that they were lacking? It could have been another one. Why is that special that they were lacking the me'il? So based on that, we have the following answer as follows. The Yam HaTalmud explains, Mishum Shalafia Medrash, based on the Medrash that we saw, Hare Chatot Nadav Avihu Bazesh Dibru Lashon Hara, based on another Medrash, the Chet of Nadav and Avihu was that they spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe and Aharon. Shocking language. Shocking language. The discussion between the two of them was that they said, when will Aharon and Moshe pass away? They're so elderly. The time has come for us to be ruling and supervising and guiding as the leaders, Klal Yisrael. When's our time going to be? Its time is over. They're ready to go. They're elderly. That was Lashon Hara. A terrible thing for them, Nadav and Avihu, to say about Moshe and Aharon. So Lashon Hara and Chazal tell us as well that it's the Me'il, the different big day kuna, the different garments of the Kohanim, of the Kohen Gadol, had the power to be mechaper, to forgive various sins. And the Me'il, the specific sin that the Me'il was mechaper on, is the sin of Lashon Hara. And accordingly, now it's understandable. What is this Medrash saying? That they died, they sinned because they were lacking in the Begadim. Which of the Begadim? Which were they lacking? The garment? It was the Me'il. It goes as follows. It says, Me'il hayu chaserim. They were lacking the Me'il. Chaserim hayu kapara. What they were lacking is the forgiveness, the kapara of the Lashon Hara that they spoke. And accordingly, they were punished for speaking Lashon Hara. So the Me'il, but the significance of the Me'il, it was the Lashon Hara. And they didn't have a kapara for the Lashon Hara that they spoke about Moshe and Aaron. Accordingly, that is why they were punished. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, where we are in Perek, Tetzayin, Pasuk Gimel, and talking about the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, of Yom Kippur, in the Beis HaMikdash, or in the Mishkan, and then later in the Beis HaMikdash. It says as follows, Bezos Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh. Famous Pasuk, Bezos, with this, what is it referring to? Bezos Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh, that Aharon will call, go into the holiest of holies in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Nachal Kedumim explains as follows, that the way, the power that we have to be mevatel, to get rid of negative decrees against Klal Yisrael, this is going to sound very familiar because it harks back to Yomim Noraim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, is Tzom, Kol, and Mamon. In fact, in the Machzorim, we say this in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tshuva, Utfila, Utztaka, Ma'avirin, Esroa, Gzeira, Tshuva, Repentance, and Tfila, Davening, Utztaka, they will wipe out the Roa HaGzer, the bad decree that we have, on top of the letters, on top of the words of Tshuva, Utfila, Utztaka. There's another word on top of each of them. On top of Tshuva, it has the word Tzom. Tzom is fasting. And on top of the word kol, on top of the kol, word of tefillah, how do you daven through the kol? And on top of the word of tztaka, it says mamon. So these are tshuva, tefillah, tztaka. There are ways to do tshuva. How do you do tshuva? Through tzom, through fasting. How do you do tefillah? The use of your voice, praying. And how do you give tzedakah? By giving money. So those are the ladders. Those are the avenues that we have tshuva, tefillah, tztaka. So tzom, kol, and mamon. By our fasting, by our davening with our voices, by our giving our money, that is the way that we can mevatel any bad decrees against Klal Yisrael. So if we look at the gematrias of each of those three words, tzom, kol, and mamon, if you run a quick computation, each of them is 136. Each of them, tzom, kol, mamon, 136. And we have three of those words, tzom, kol, mamon, each of them 136 times three is 408. And 408 is the gematria of that word, bezos. Bezos yavo Aaron. What is this saying to us? Bezos yavo Aaron. What does Aaron have to come into the Kodesh Kedoshim with? In order to be armed, in order to get rid of any xeros, negative decrees against Klal Yisrael, bezos, he has to come in with tzom, kol, mamon, fasting and prayer and money, having given tzedakah or committing to give tzedakah. It is those three things. That's the gematria of zos. Zayin, aleph, tav, zos. The same gematria. In order to be mevatel the bad gzeros against Klal Yisrael, he has to come in and use those three weapons, those three avenues, those three methods, tzom, kol, mamon, bezos yavor al kodesh, in order to be effective in getting rid of negative decrees against Klal Yisrael. In fact, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, im takum alai milchama be Zos anivoteach, if there will be a war against me with this. What is Zos again? I am going to have both. But bitachon, I'm going to have faith. I am certain, I'm going to have certainty What is that talking about? When we have a milchama, the most difficult milchamas against those enemies that we have, what do we have to be confident in? Bezos anivoteach, when we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with these three things, the zos. When we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, zos is the gematria of 408 that represents tzom, kol, umamon. Each of those 136, 136 times 3 is 408. Im takum alai milchama, when there's a milchama against me, bezos. If I have zos, if I use zos, those three methods, accordingly, anibotach, I am confident that we will have success and overcome. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4, and it says in Perek Tetzayin, Pasuk Ches, Venasan Aharon al Shnei Hasirim Gor Alos. As part of the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, it says that we have to put, the Kohen Gadol, when he goes and he has two seirim, it's the two goats, and one of the goat, they have to be looking identical, and they have to be bought at the same time, different requirements that the Mishnah talks about. And what he does is he stands in between the two goats, and he pulls out lots. One lot is in the right hand, one lot is in the left hand. And it says, Ma'amid echad, mi'amid v'echad, small, and there were two people, one on the right side and one on the left side. Chazal tell us that when he pulls out the lots, and one of them said that it was Lahashem, one of the Seirim, one of those two goats would be used in the base of Mikdash as a korban, and the other one was La'azalza, would be sent out into the Midbar and thrown over a cliff, and they had different functions, as we'll see shortly. Now, Chazal tell us that when the Kohen Gadol is lifting up those two lots, one in the left hand, one in the right hand, I should say it in reverse, one in the right hand and one in the left hand, it was a siman tov, it was a good sign for Klal Yisrael, that when the right hand lifted up the goral, would lift up that lot, if it said La Hashem, that would be the one that would go to Hashem. We had two lots, one said La Hashem, one to Azalzel, and whatever one happened to come up in the right hand, that is the one that would be placed on the one to the side of the right of the Kohen Gadol. One came up in the left hand, would be placed on the left one. But if the Lahashem Goral, if the lot that says to Hashem came up in the right hand, that was a good sign for Klal Yisrael. Why is that? What's going on here? So the Seir La'azazel and the Seir La'Hashem had different functions. And the Seir La'azazel, that is the one that was sent out deep into the desert and thrown over a cliff. The purpose of that was to get rid of the psolis, the rubbish, the schataim, the tuma of Klal Yisrael. That's what its purpose was. Let's get rid of the averus, send it out, throw it over the cliff. We want those averus to be gone away from us. On the other hand, the Seir LaHashem that was kept in the base of Mikdash and Shechted, that one was meant lekaref es nishmas Yisrael el HaKadusha. That was meant to be mekar, bring close the neshamas of Klal Yisrael to Kedusha, to be machzir, to return people to their where they should be, to be chozer b'tshuva. So they had very different functions. This is the Avnei Nezer explaining this. So on the one hand, we have the Seir La'azalzel that was meant to get rid of the averus. Negativity, get rid of it. And the Seir La'Hashem was to have a positive impact and to bring forth positivity and mitzvahs. And accordingly, Chazal tell us as follows, a very important yesod. When we're doing kirev or when we're interacting with people, when we want to inspire people, dealing with our children as well, la'olam tehei smol docha v'yamin mekarevis. Always it should be that the left hand, the weaker hand, is pushing away, and the right hand is bringing closer. In other words, what we're saying is you have to give a little bit mussar, that's with the left hand, the weaker hand, but the right hand, the hand of love, should be the one, the love is bringing close, that's through the right hand. So it's the left hand, the olam tei smol docha. The left hand pushes away, the right hand brings closer, bringing closer, being complementary, being positive has to be much more significant than the negativity. And accordingly, everything, we're going to wrap this all together now, when it comes to the Seir La'azalzel, that is the seer that was sent out to the desert and thrown out. That is the one that is docha, that we are pushing out, and its function was negative. That has to be done with the left hand. In other words, we want that lot to be lifted up in the left hand, because that Seir La'azalzel should be on the left side. That is representing avera, sin, negativity. On the other hand, the Seir LaHashem, and this is what Chazal is saying, we want that to the one to bring closer. The purpose of this Seir LaHashem was to bring people closer, to inspire people, to have people do tshuva. And accordingly, we want, when that lot is lifted up, says the Avnei Nezer, we want it to be with the right hand. The right hand of tshuva, the right hand of kiruv, the right hand of love, optimism, and inspiration. And that's why it's a siman tov when the Seir LaHashem is in the right hand. That represents what the right hand should be doing. It's kiruv and bringing closer. That's the siman tov we constantly want to see. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. We're in Perek Tetzayin, Pasuk Tetzayin, and it says, HaShachen Itam B'soch Tumasam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still descends upon us even when we are Temeim. And we're going to learn an important yisod here, and it goes as follows, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when we are sinning, he is with Klal Yisrael. But there's one sin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates even more than the worst of sins, and that's being a Baal Gaiva, being somebody who is arrogant. Arrogance HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand. And where do we see this from? We see this from our pasuk. It says, HaShachen Itam B'toch Tumasam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when we're Tumeim, even when we're sinners, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with us. But nonetheless, when it comes to a Baal Gaiva, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Kufalev, pasukei, that says, Gva Einayim Urechav Levav Oso Lo Uchal. One who has haughty eyes, that's Gva Einayim Urechav Levav, somebody who has an expansive heart, arrogance, Oso Him Lo Uchal, him I cannot stand. I cannot be with him. In fact, the Baal Shem Tov puts it this way, Ein ani v'hu yecholim ladur ba'olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, he, this arrogant person, and me, we cannot coexist in the same world. So we're saying here, based on our pasuk, HaShachen Itam B'toch Tumasam, even when we're Tumeim, even when we're sinning, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm still with you. But when it comes to Abal Gaiva, when it comes to that, the Baal Shem Tov says the language, Ein ani v'hu yecholim ladur bi'olam, he and I, that Baal Gaiva, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, we cannot coexist in the same world. So we see there that being a Baal Gaiva, arrogance is worse than other sins, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not being shochen, I'm not hanging out with that person anymore. So it's an interesting maisa with the Rebbe Melublin. He used to say as follows, Chaviv alai Rasha hayodeshu Rasha, I am more fond of a Rasha, an evil person who knows he's an evil person. He's aware, he's self-aware of who he is. I prefer that than a tzaddik that knows he's a tzaddik. Again, the Rebbe Melublin says, I prefer a Rasha who knows he's a Rasha than a tzaddik who knows he's a tzaddik. So the Rebbe from Pshischa turns to the Rebbe Melublin and asks him as follows, well, why? What's the rationale that you prefer a Rasha than a Rasha? A tzaddik that knows he's a tzaddik, that seems to be better than a Rasha who knows he's a Rasha. And the Rebbe from Lublin explained to the Rebbe Mipshischa as follows, a Rasha, when you have an evil person who knows who's a Rasha, what does he still have? He still has an amazing Mida character trait of MS. He's being honest. He may be a Rasha, but he knows he's a Rasha. He's in touch with that reality, and he's honest about who he is. And accordingly, he still has a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. And accordingly, when we have a Rasha who is aware he's a Rasha, he has that Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Emes. And accordingly, he has that connection. It may be not such a strong connection, because he's still a Rasha, but still he has that connection of Emes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, when it comes to a tzaddik who knows he's a tzaddik, what does that mean? It's a tzaddik who views himself as a tzaddik. That is someone who's a Baal Gaivi. He's full of himself. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein tzaddik, truth be told, Chazal tell us, Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yecheta. There is no tzaddik in this world that is perfect, that doesn't sin. It doesn't exist. And we have it, this individual who says, I'm a tzaddik. He's a tzaddik. I view myself as a tzaddik. He's full of himself. He can't even acknowledge that not everyone is perfect. He's so full of himself that he's not in touch with the reality. He's not honest. Upon that person, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as we quoted before, Ein ani v'hu yecholim lador ba'olam, he and I, we cannot coexist in the same world. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a connection. It may be a little bit tenuous, but he does have a connection when a Rasha who knows he's a Rasha, at least they have the commonality of Emes. But when it comes to a tzaddik who views himself as a tzaddik, he's full of himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, nah, I have nothing in parallel with that individual, I have nothing in common with that individual, he and I cannot coexist together. And now we've come full turn from our pasuk, HaShochen Itam B'soch Tumasam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be Shochen with that Rasha, even in his Tuma, even in his impurity, even with the sins of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there with us. But when it comes to a Baal Gaiva, that tzaddik who views himself as a tzaddik, or other forms of Baal Gaiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I cannot coexist with that individual. And now we're moving forward to number 6. We have the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. We're in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel. It talks about when somebody does Shechita on a Chaya, a non-domesticated animal, or an elf, or a bird, there is a mitzvah to cover up the blood that comes out during the shechita process. So that's called kisui adam, covering it up with dirt. And the Medrash says as follows, when Kayin killed Hevel, the body of Hevel was discarded in the field. It was there sitting in Bizayin in disgrace. This was Hevel. This was the creation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the children of Adam and Chav, and here he is, his goof, his discarded carcass, sitting there in disgrace. And the Chayas and the Ophos, the undomesticated animals and the birds out there in the field, they saw this and they dug a ditch. They basically dug a place that he would be buried, and they buried him there. And we see that their eyes were open. What was necessary, a chesed that needed to be done. And here we have the carcass of Hevel, and we have the birds digging his grave and covering him up, burying him. And because of that chesed that they did to Hevel, says the Medrash, Lefichach zaku lekach, they had the schus, the merit, that when they are shechted in the future, their blood will be covered up with dirt as well. And we see here from this Medrash a very important yesod, that animals, that they did a chesed to somebody, they had their eyes open and they got rewarded for it. Such a powerful thing to do a chesed to somebody. Kal v'chomer, when a human being does a chesed to somebody, has his eyes open. Kal v'chomer, it's such an unbelievable thing to do, and something that indeed will be rewarded in Olam Haba. Thank you so much for listening.